Interesting times we're living in right now. Really interesting times. So here's my sermon for you today. I can't breathe. July 23rd, 2014. Last words spoken by Eric Garner, a black man, while a New York police officer choked him from behind and other New York police officers tackled him. He was illegally selling cigarettes on the sidewalk, and for that he died. But he cried 11 times, "I can't breathe." The police officer was never charged. The grand jury felt he was just doing his job. I can't breathe. May 25th, 2 weeks ago, last words of George Floyd. He spoke them as a Minneapolis police officer was kneeling on his neck for almost 9 minutes. He was trying to pass a counterfeit $20 bill, and for that he died. At least in this case, the police officer has been charged. But I would say, like many of you, when I watched that video, I experienced a combination of emotions: horror, disgust, anger. And then over the past 14 days, I've watched, like all of us have watched, the anger spilling out on the streets. Almost every single city in this country and now worldwide, watching the devastating consequences. So Pastor Chip and I were talking throughout this week, and after some emotional conversations with numerous people, we felt we needed to address this morning. Actually, I'd say I think all of us need to address this. And we do realize that we face the risk of possibly offending some of you and the risk of possibly being misunderstood. Obviously, we don't want to further divide. But I will say this, for us to remain silent would be giving permission. I say that again. For us to remain silent is giving permission. The killings of George Floyd in Minnesota, Trayvon Martin in Florida, Michael Brown in Ferguson, Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia, Breonna Taylor in Kentucky, on and on and on. These are reminders of dangers that black Americans are facing in their everyday life. And despite the progress our country has made over the years, black Americans are still being denied basic privileges that most of us take for granted. I'm talking about fundamental human and civil rights and the dignity and the respect that comes with them. I'm talking about something as simple as going for a jog. So these deaths are not just about two notorious tragedies. These deaths represent what is happening across our country and what we would refer to as the ordinary business of everyday life. Every day, our black and brown brothers are crying out, "I cannot breathe. I can't breathe." And my question today is, can we hear it? Do you hear that? Do you hear that? I can't breathe. In the ordinary course of business and law enforcement, education, and so on, black and brown men, women, and children throughout the United States are being racially profiled criminal suspects. Their ordinary course of business, they're being stopped, they're being frisked, they're being humiliated, they're being insulted. In the ordinary course of business, they're being beaten and shot and tasered and chemically assaulted by tear gas and pepper spray, and they're being killed. And every day, people of color are crying in our country, "I can't breathe." Can we hear that? Do we hear it? I have to say, there was something about that video. Here's a man, George Floyd, handcuffed. And he's crying, "I can't breathe." And then he calls out in desperation to his mother, who's deceased, "Mama, I think this is a moment. This has touched the heart of every decent human being, not just Americans, every decent human being. There's something wrong about that." I heard it compared to like being similar to being shocked with a, you know, one of those things they use when people have a cardiac arrest. It's like, whoa, this is something's not right here. I think we're at an extraordinary moment in our country's history right now. Right now. We are at a very special time. And I think it's a time people speak up. I heard this quote, I'm sure some of you have heard it. It says, "If not now, when? And if not us, who?" In other words, if this isn't an appropriate time to say something, when is it going to be appropriate? And if not us, Christian, evangelical Christians, Bible-believing Christians, if not us, who's going to speak up? Now, I'm sad to say, for much of our country's history, white evangelical Christians have not spoken up for racial justice. During Dr. Martin Luther King's civil rights marches, do you realize not one white evangelical pastor joined him? We were missing in action. Most of the white evangelicals at that time were busy accusing him of fomenting violence. They were busy looking for conspiracies and spreading rumors that he was funded by the communist. Spreading rumors that it was all being done by outside agitators. Sounds a little familiar. What is interesting is that rabbis and Catholic priests marched with Dr. King, but not one white evangelical pastor could be found. So I just want to say, we have a moment right now. My challenge is, are we going to be silent? Are we going to be found missing in action? Or are we going to assume the role of the critic, talking about everything that's wrong with these protests, cautioning everybody to stay on the sidelines because it's not perfect? Or are we going to join the movement and try to make a difference? Are we going to hear the cries, "I can't breathe"? So, to all people of color, I want to say we're sorry. I'm sorry for what has existed for so long and for not knowing or even understanding or even listening. I want to say we see you. We love you. We want to listen. And in a posture of charity, repentance and humility, please forgive us.
This comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." When Jesus preached his very first public sermon, these were the first words that he used. And he was quoting from the prophet Isaiah from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61. Then it says he closed the book and he sat down. After that service, he went out, and this is what he did. This passage right here is a foundational passage for all believers in Jesus. As believers in Jesus, we are to preach the good news to the poor. We are to help them get out of poverty. We are to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and help those who are oppressed. And I'm afraid for far too long, we have remained silent in many of these areas, but the biggest area that I want to look at is the oppression of our African American brothers and sisters. So the question that I ask is, what can we do? What can I do? I think the first thing that we can do is engage in conversation. And yes, it's uncomfortable conversation. It takes us out of our comfort zones. But we need to be intentional on getting to know what other people are going through. Getting to understand the struggles that other people have. And be intentional on building a bridge between you and your African American community. I myself have been doing a lot of thinking and a lot of praying. And I was up, was that last Monday, I think? And I was just, you know, God, where are the answers for me out of your word? And I didn't get anything that night. But I felt like he said, I'll give you something tomorrow. And when I woke up, this is what I heard. Do a Google search on Bible verses about injustice, Bible verses about oppression. So I did. Pretty much every single Old Testament prophet cried out about injustice, cried out about oppression. They were speaking the words of God. They were speaking from the heart of God. And the one that struck me the most comes out of Isaiah chapter 1, and here's what it says. Chapter 1, verse 17. Learn to do good, seek justice, defend the oppressed. Learn to do good. I'm doing that. Seek justice. Am I doing that? Defend the oppressed. I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure I've been doing that. What does that look like? Defend the oppressed. It means that it's time for all of us to hear their cries. To hear the cries of the oppressed. The suffocating words of, I can't breathe. You know what God's heart is? God's heart wants us to defend the oppressed. I think, and this is just me speaking here, and maybe it's just for myself, but I think the cries of the Old Testament prophets are being resurfaced right now at this particular time for our country. And I've been doing a lot of listening lately. I've been intentional in engaging in uncomfortable conversations. And I want to ask for forgiveness today. Because I think I've failed in that area. And I've been doing a lot of soul searching. Like, what can I do, God, to help bridge the gap? Help me ask questions. Help me put myself out there. And even if it's a stupid question, ask it. Because how am I going to know what I'm supposed to do if I don't ask? And here's the thing about praying and asking God what you can do. It doesn't do you any good if it's not a two-way conversation. If you're not listening for what God wants you to do, praying is just talking to Him. Just talking at God and then going about your business and not doing anything about it. It must be two-way. Just like all good conversations, they are two-way. We talk and then we listen. So I want to encourage you, and I want to suggest that if you feel a stirring in your heart, like, what can I do? Speak to God about it and then listen. Listen to what he wants you to do. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit has something for each one of us in this particular time. And I think he's saying that we need to defend the oppressed. We need to take a stand. We need to learn what it is that our African American brothers and sisters are going through. Because the truth is, it is time for the church in America to stand up and be a beacon of light to bring justice and healing.
Amen. 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 Amen.
We're going to just take a few minutes, and I'd like to invite Kalicia and Walt Hudson up here. I'm going to start with you, Kalicia. You're a mother. You're seeing what's going on. Help us out a little bit. What are some things we can do as a church? What are some things we can do as individuals?
Good morning, Vineyard Community Church family. So to answer your question, the biggest thing is to listen. Listen to us and educate yourself. Educate yourself in the history that has surrounded the systemic injustices and the systemic oppression. And listen with an open heart. It probably will be uncomfortable for you, but that is starting to build the bridge to understand what it's like to be a black mother or a black father, or even having a child of color within your family. Understand the history, educating yourself with the history and listening.
Thank you, Kalicia. Appreciate that. Walt, you're a dad. What are some thoughts you have? What can we do? How can we do better?
First, I would like to say good morning to everyone except for John York out there. really, I had probably about five or six things I was going to say. And sitting here, God put it on my heart to say one thing, and that's listen. I mean, really listen. A lot of times we like to put our own spin on things. We have our minds made up, and we don't listen to what's actually being said. We come with our own conclusions. We feel like we know everything. Sometimes I do that myself. But I really say listen. And Pastor Chip said listen to God. And, I mean, that comes first. Listen to God first, and then listen to your brothers that are telling you their experiences, telling you what's happening, and don't turn a blind eye to what you see. I mean, that video, nobody can look at that video and say they didn't see that man get murdered on right in front of our faces. So listen, you know, and stop turning a blind eye. It's not always purposeful, but it happens. So listening is the thing to do.
Thank you, Walt. Thank you, Kalicia. Listen, man. Love you guys.
Thank you.
So sorry. So sorry.
Thank you, man. Powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful. Yeah.
Very powerful.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to wrap it up here with just a couple of more thoughts here. Then we're going to have some time for worship and prayer. God's response to injustice clearly in Scripture is definitely not more police, okay? It isn't. You read that passage in Isaiah that Chip was referring to, and all the other prophets, God's remedy for healing and deliverance for those who can't breathe is taking His love and making it personal. What I mean by that is when Chip said Jesus' first sermon, his very first sermon, he set the pace for his ministry. He quoted out of Isaiah and he said, "The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Then he closed the book and then he said, and I'll paraphrase it, "This is what I'm going to do. Starting now." And he went about doing it. His whole life was taking it personal, sharing the love of God. And I believe this is God's remedy. Jesus is gone in the flesh, So now, who's going to take up that me? Who's going to be me? Who's going to be the personal representation of the kingdom of God and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? God has anointed me. He's looking for the me's. He's looking for the me's. He's calling us to be the me, to comfort the comfort those who are oppressed, to put an end to violence and injustice. It's choking people. Jesus did it. He's our example. We need to follow. And then, just to give you some hope, if you read that passage in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2 is the one we were just quoting where Jesus said he was going to do it. But verses 3, 4, and 5, God says, by the way, if you take up that banner and you say me, he promises we'll win. Justice will triumph. Injustice cannot win over justice. Hate cannot win over love. And he says here, the prophet said, if you do that, if you take it personal and say, it's me, he says, then those who have been oppressed will receive a crown of beauty instead of ashes. They will have the oil of joy instead of a faint spirit, instead of depression. They will be called oaks of righteousness. Then listen to this. Then the ancient ruins will be built up. They shall raise up places that have long been devastated. They shall repair the ruined cities that have been destroyed. There's a promise there. There is a promise there. And may it be so in our lifetime that we see the prophet Isaiah's words fulfilled.
I'm going to end it with this. To love unconditionally is a decision. To love means to do something. The opposite of love is hate. Love is doing what is just. It's doing what is kind. It's doing what is decent. To love means we do the right thing and not turn a blind eye to what is happening around us. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, then we must do unto others as we would want them to do to us. Are we engaging in conversations and listening? Are we trying to gain an understanding? Are we defending the oppressed? Every single one of us have people in our lives that we can learn from. The question is, are we willing to engage in uncomfortable conversations with somebody of a different skin color? Are we willing to do that? I think if you are, you would be very surprised at where the conversations would lead. I think it would lead to healing. I think it would lead to bridge building. And I think it would lead to a changed atmosphere in our community. I believe our time is now to make a difference, and I believe that it has to start here with the church. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, God. I thank you, God, for waking us up, stirring our hearts, opening our eyes. I'm sorry that it took this long. But I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that each one of us can listen to your voice and find out what it is that we can do to make a difference in our community. And I believe it's my heart's desire that we start building those bridges right here in Vineyard Community Church with our African American brothers and sisters. They are our family here. We are family here. I would love more than anything for the reputation of this church to be, man, they're doing something. They're making a difference. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would put it on each one of our hearts to be intentional on making a difference, and it would start today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Whew. I think that was well needed. Amen. So listen, we're going to enter into just some ministry time here, and I have a couple things that I think God wants to address, and Pastor Dave has some things, but I have two words. One is depression. I couldn't shake the word depression. So I know we're coming out of this quarantine. Some of us are out. Some of us are still not ready. But I just sense like there may be some people here that are dealing with depression, and God wants to break that over you right now. You know, it's like a big dark blanket that just it suffocates you. And so I want to speak against that in the name of Jesus. Anybody here that is dealing with depression, God, we break that. We break those chains, God. We speak life. We speak healing. We speak light. And we speak Jesus into your heart and into your mind. No longer will the devil of depression harass you and oppress you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I have another one, and you know, when you hear a message and you're like, yeah, that's great, yeah, but you don't know. You don't know where I'm at. You don't know what I've dealt with. And I just sense like there's some really deep scars, some deep cuts, some scars that haven't healed. And I believe right now that Jesus, I believe that there is an abundance of healing oils from heaven that are readily available for you right now. And I believe in raising your hand and saying, yes, that's me. But, you know, this is deep. This is personal. If you want to raise your hand, that's me. Yes. If not, just hold your hands out. I believe, this is what I see in my head. I just see the Holy Spirit just pouring healing oils upon us right now. And those scars that keep getting resurfaced, and maybe it's a word that's said, or a phrase, or a look, or something on the news, or an event, or something, and it continues to resurface. God wants to heal that right now. I pray for healing in all areas, spiritual, emotional. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bring the healing that is needed, God, so that we can move forward as the people that you created us to be in boldness, in confidence, not hurt, not injured, not limping through life, but healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. When I was younger, I was out playing. I stepped on a rusty nail. Never told my mom, never washed my foot off. And in a short period of time, my foot got extremely infected. And if you touched my leg, I reacted violently, like I was in such pain. And so I ended up having to go to the hospital, and I don't know what happened there, but I'm pretty sure when they cut it out, I don't think they gave me any painkiller, because I just remember two or three people sitting on me and me screaming, and they cut it out. But I feel like there's some people with infections here this morning. And maybe when Pastor Chip was talking, maybe when I was talking, we might have touched something. And there might have been a little reaction. And I think that's probably because there's an infection. There's spiritual infection. And so I just want to do a little operation on you, and it may be painful, it may just be the beginning, but I tell you, if you had a reaction to what we said, you probably have an infection, and best have it cleaned out. That wound can heal. So, Father, I pray right now, anybody that had a reaction in a hurt way, or it's just something inside, I pray, God, they would see there's some infection there. And I'm asking right now, God, that they would give it up. Ask God, cleanse it, God, cut it out. Take it out of my heart. I want to heal healthy. I want to live healthy. In the name of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, God, I pray right now, cut it out. Operate. Get it out. And Let that wound heal. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then last, Chip was saying there's lots of ways. Everybody's different, so there's lots of things we can do. We just need to listen and obey. But I just want to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to the protest tonight. I'm going to head down there, and I'm just going to open it up to you. If you want to go down with me, text me today. Let me know who's coming. We'll meet here at the church at 5. I'm going down because I feel like I should. It's my part. I'm also working very closely with our black brothers who are pastors of churches in this city. We're going to see what we can do, but I'm committing to you. I'm going to do better. We're going to close with a song, and then we're going to pronounce a blessing over you.
Let's raise a hallelujah this morning. I raise a hallelujah.
Lift up your hands. Let's pronounce a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
May the Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you
and give you peace. Woo! Have a great week, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday online.